Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. For those that is not aware of who I am, my name is Jesse Peterson, and I'm the president of BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose of BOND is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. Our main focus is on the black man because we realize unless the black man change, we're going to destroy ourselves. Welfare, affirmative action, making the white people love us, begging and lying and cheating won't do it. The black man have to come back to order in order to make a difference within our family and the community. Today we're dealing with the Los Angeles Police Department. And today I have Gregory, Detective Gregory Grant with me. And we're going to talk about the relationship between the LAPD and the black community. And I just want to welcome you to the show, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Let's welcome Greg, audience. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we get into the conversation, Greg, tell us a little bit about yourself and your relationship with the Los Angeles Police Department.
Well, first let me state that in part I can claim to be a native Californian here. I've been with the department for the last 12 years, and during that 12-year period, I'd had an opportunity to work patrol, narcotics, homicide investigation, domestic violence, et cetera, burglary investigations, robbery. And in that capacity, I've been exposed to a vast array of crimes and had an opportunity to deal with the community on various levels.
Right. Which bureau are you working out of?
I'm currently assigned Southeast Division, and I'm working burglary in that at that particular location.
Really?
And we're located, in, and for those who don't know, at 145 West 108th Street.
Oh, okay. You know, a couple years ago when things was pretty rough for black people, especially black males in the police department, I can remember being stopped by several times by the police officers. And every time they would stop me, they treated me really bad, you know, put handcuffs on me, cursed me out, didn't really allow me to ask questions. And so I used to wonder, why are we being treated that way? Are they being taught to do that? And I knew one day I would be able to sit with a police officer and find out what's really going on behind the scene. During that period, what was it that we didn't understand about the police department? Did they hate us? Was we being treated wrong intentionally? Did we not understand what was going on? What was wrong?
Well, let me just preface this, and I'm going to use an old analogy that an old gentleman used to say. And it was that you can paint wings on a pig, and it doesn't mean that that pig will fly. As far as the police department is concerned, we stress professionalism. And if an individual is professional, if he's competent at what he or she is doing in their profession, then that type of behavior that you just illustrated here will not be tolerated. But that comes from the individual. And the unfortunate part of the whole thing, Jesse, is that, just like you said, the police, it's making a broad brush statement against the entire department.
Right.
So when we, and I'm saying those members of the department who conduct themselves as professionals and who are committed to serving the public, when we come across those type of individuals, there is a penalty. And I think the biggest problem is that the penalty that those individuals have to suffer has not been made public.
Yeah.
And right now, I think that is changing, and I think that once the public realizes that there are penalties and there are safeguards and there are remedies for them to take, that image might be dispelled.
I noticed that during that period, no one was really, and when I say no one, I mean that the mayor or the head of the police department or the black officers wasn't really doing anything about it. And because I filed a complaint, and I went to court once about it, were you guys aware of that? Did you know that we were being treated that way? I mean, by some of the officers? Was it known within the department that this was going on?
Well, again, we get back to my original statement that if an individual feels that he or she has been abused by an officer, then they can make a complaint. And that, like I said, there are penalties. And those officers, again, you may not see it.
Oh,
and sometimes that occurs with other investigations. It's incumbent upon us as peace officers to notify the complaining party that something did happen.
Right.
And that adds potency. That gives a person a sense that they have remedy. And it's the same remedy that a victim has as a victim of a crime.
Right.
There is a court system. There is something that will be done. Now, we may not always agree with the decision of the court system or of the court, the decree, et cetera, or we may not always agree with the penalty that the officers received as a result of that type of misconduct. But there is a system in place, and it is exercised.
What is it that black people don't understand about the police department? There seems to be a dislike or hate for the police. What is it that we don't understand?
Well, I think traditionally, if you look at the role of the police, and I'm not speaking so much about the Los Angeles police, but police throughout history, if we view films, et cetera, from the 60s and the movements by Martin Luther King, the police were often the most visible right. in restraining individuals from exercising their constitutional rights. The police were often there to dispel the crowds who wanted to vote, et cetera. So it's not unusual. It's not something that is, it's more of a perception of many things that have gone on during that period of time. And on occasion, some things that may happen, just as you expressed earlier, right. where the officer stopped you and they weren't professional. They didn't do the things that they needed to do and the things that they were required to do. So that lingers. And my knowledge to that is this. Yeah, when an individual's plumbing is over, your plumbing is screwed up in your home, and you call out a plumber, and that plumber doesn't do a good job, you may call another plumber. Mm-hmm. But you don't stop calling plumbers. The same with the doctor. If you're sick and a doctor does something to you that is not appropriate, there's malpractice, et cetera, you may pursue it that way. But you are not going to stop seeing doctors.
Right.
And my concern is that all the police are not painted with that same broad brush stroke. And the other thing is that in retrospect, if you examine what people think about the police, this is the question that you've asked me, could be viewed as a loaded, open-end question. But what about the people's perception of the police?
Right.
What do the people think about the police? How many times do citizens just say, hi, officer, how are you doing today? I mean, So it's a reciprocal thing.
I think from what I see in the black community, particularly, that we don't have a sense of trust or respect with the police department. And that has a lot to do with the misleading, the misguiding of the black politicians and as a whole, I think. Because every time I hear or see them speaking, they're always encouraging us that the police department is our enemy, that they want to destroy us, and that they don't like us, and that. And so when something go wrong, let's say I deal with a policeman, he treat me wrong, I get angry at him, and right away I've already heard that this is my enemy, and I'm going to think that everyone is that same manner. Do you see that we've been misguided by the so-called leaders of the black community?
Well, I think that a lot of misinformation is being disseminated. I think that what people need to do is establish a dialogue with the police.
Yeah.
If you have a complaint, Why don't you go? What people need to keep in mind is that the police are here to serve the community. We are the community. We take members of our department from the community.
Right.
And so if a person, rather than to sit back and throw stones, get involved. If you have an idea that's going to work and some suggestions, then come forward and be a part of it.
That's a good point. And one thing I notice about black people, and I'm not saying all, so I sound like I'm saying all, right? I'm just saying 99.9, not quite all. But black people they're sort of laid back, lazy type people. It's easy for black people to put their life into someone else's hand. You know, if something go wrong with me, as opposed to going out and taking care of that matter for myself, I would call someone else and let them handle it and get their ideas about what is happening. Don't you think that do you find that to be so, or am I just...
Well, on occasion, again, it's an individual thing, and that's how I try to examine it, because everyone has their opinion, and those opinions are based on an individual's experience.
But being there, what are the responses of the black community concerning crime and incidents that are taking place in their own life? Do they take care of it? Do they report it? Do they follow up on it?
To be quite honest with you, the majority of individuals within the division that I serve, which is Southeast Division, they are very much concerned with crime. They are active participants. It's just the consistency. If you're consistent and right. you persevere and you just make up your mind that we are not going to take this anymore and not just depend on the police. This is what community-based policing is all about. It's a coming together of the community and the police department. And it's incumbent that, as you mentioned, that those members of the public come forward with their input. Right. We need their assistance. In fact, if there was one segment of the community that would create the most contention with me personally is that silent majority. Those good people who sit at home, those good people who go home and lock their doors, those good people who don't call the police when they see something going on, those good people who know the neighborhood kid that's creating the problems, those are the people that need to come forward. Those are the people that need to be involved in what's going on out here.
And why don't they come forward?
Well, there are a vast array of reasons, and I could go on and cite reasons, but that's yesterday. I'm concerned with today. And what I'm saying today is that we want you to come forward. Yeah. We want those people to become a part of this thing.
Police base, is that what it's called?
Community-based policing.
Is that a good idea?
It's an outstanding idea.
It is.
It's an outstanding idea, and it's not an idea or a concept that is new to the department, but I think that it's something that we haven't exercised, and that it creates that us against them mentality.
Right.
When in reality, we are all part of the same ball game. We're in the same game. We are in it to win.
Right.
And no one is going to tell me that they are not affected by crime in their area.
That's right.
And what will we do without the police?
Let me ask. I noticed that within the black community, most of the time it's the woman that is taking the lead as far as reporting crime for this incident. Do you see that the men are getting more involved now, or is it still the woman running the community and making those type decisions as far as the relationship with the police department and the community at large?
Well, I think that most people, if they are victims of crime and they want something done, be whatever sex they may be, they're going to come forward and make a report. They're going to report whether or not they had been victims.
But what I
would like to see, yes, I'll answer your question. In the number of the juveniles that are arrested, and those juveniles and individuals that I have to interview, yeah, you're absolutely right. I would like to see the male image come forward. I would like to see the male image portrayed and a positive role model established.
So, I believe that if males got involved, the crime rate would go down as well. Because what I realize is that the enemy knows that true power is within the man. And if you notice that within our community, the power, which is the man, he's like downtrodden and out of order. He's not in charge. And so it seems as though evil, because that's what it is running rampant within our community. And if we can somehow get him to be involved, to watch over his home and watch over his community, then I think that would change our community a lot. What do you think?
I think that's a very interesting concept. And in everything that I do, I would like to see the male involved in it. I would like to see a positive male role in images.
Okay, being out in the streets and in the community, within the community, do you see that?
On occasion, I do. I have to say that there are a lot of good men in the community, and that
really?
They are very responsible, and they do the things that they have to do. But again, if you are the father of a child, it would be great to have you participate in that individual's upbringing and establish some form of direction for that individual.
Let me ask you about Chief Darrell Gates, well, ex-chief now. What are your perception of him?
Well, you know, my perceptions of Chief Gates are as follows. I am a goal and objective-oriented individual. Uh-huh. And what I have to do in my role as a detective is very clear and very detailed. And I go about doing my chores. And as far as my direct contact with the chief, if it's the present chief or the past chief, it is limited. And so I look at whether or not I have the tools to work with. I have all the resources that I need to effectively enforce crime. And that's what the level that I deal with him on. And as far as Chief Gates is concerned, I don't have an opinion about him at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're in a new era. I think that we need to look forward and support the individuals that we have in position now and deal with it from that aspect.
You know, the reason I asked, because I know when I was blinded by the lie, that came from other people. I wasn't able to be in control of my own life. I used to see him as an enemy of the black community. But once I woke up, I began to see a different reality. I began to see what he stood for. And when we come back from break, I'm going to tell you what I think that he stood for, all right? We're going to take a break, and I'll be back in a minute.
He's held every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Location, 2625 West Manchester Boulevard, Inglewood, California, 90305. For more information, call area code 213-759-3844. That's 759-3844. Bond, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
It's so funny to see them do that. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Detective Gregory Grant from the Los Angeles Police Department. Before we went to break, I was giving you my opinion of Darryl Gates. I admire him, I have to tell you. And the reason that I admire him is because he's a real man. And what I mean by that is that he's a man of character. He stood up for what was right, even though he had to stand alone most of the time. I can remember where that was this issue with the women coming into the police department and the homosexuals and all these crazy people wanted to come in, and he was against it, and for all the right reason. And I admire him at that time for standing up for what he knew was right. We don't have many people in America today that would stand up for principles and values. And based on that, I admire him. I don't know exactly what goes on behind closed doors, but you can tell a person, a man or a woman, by their words and their character. You can determine then what you, you know, you can make pretty much an assessment of what you think about that person. And so I admire him for that. And also I admired him because the world was against him. And whenever the world is against you, you're doing something right. You know, so that's why I admire him. You said that there is a war going on, and that people need to understand this war. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that I think that oftentimes the police department and the public are pitted against one another. And I think that if we were really to establish some dialogue and really to be able to document our concerns in a realistic and forthright manner, that we would find out that what the public's objectives are and what the police department's objectives are oftentimes congruent. But somehow or another, those ideas and issues are not shared and they're not concerned and they're diluted. And I think that on occasion that some members of our press, and of course it's not to paint everyone that way, are not quite as responsible as they could be in reporting events and situations that develop.
So are you saying that we're pitted against the police department by the press?
Well, by different factions. I mentioned the press because they address a large number of people.
Right.
But it could be any one of a forum or group or
who else is doing it?
Well, just people as a whole. people who have a misconception about what's going on.
Who do we need to be aware of? I mean, and the reason I'm asking because I know that a lot of times, just because black folks are black folks, we have a tendency to believe them, right? And I personally see that our enemy within the black community are the politicians and the media. It's not just the media alone, but we have politicians that is the enemy of the black community. And what I mean is that they're always encouraging anger and hate toward another group, and in this case, the police department. They encourage that. As a matter of fact, their whole platform is built on that. If they couldn't encourage anger, then they could, you know, that would be no way they could be politicians. And so that's why I'm asking, is it the politicians too, or is it some, I mean, who should we be aware of?
Well, you know, I think, Jesse, the best way to define that is it's going to be something that each individual needs to do. And when I say that, is that knowledge is the best resource that any individual can have. And when you hear a headline about some police abuse and some atrocity that the police department is allegedly involved in, get involved and examine all the evidence and all the facts before you make a decision. Because anytime you make a decision on just a tidbit of information, and if you know there's a case in litigation, as there's something that you read in the newspapers, you know there's always two sides to every story.
That's right.
And the final say-so will have to be meted out in the court system. And again, getting back to whether you believe in the decision, you agree, or you disagree, is what we have to deal with. It's a system that has worked many times, more than it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Let me bring it home just a little bit. An example. There's a police shooting in the black community. Some black man get killed. When we look at the story on the news, we hear, are we here to shout and at the police, you did us wrong, they didn't have a gun, you was wrong. We never really hear the other side of the story. Is that deliberately? I mean, is that done to deceive us?
Well, I couldn't comment on unless it was a specific story that I had knowledge of. But let me just say this. What I would suggest people do, why don't they scrutinize the other shootings when it's not a police involved?
Right.
And if we're focusing on this particular community, what about the everyday shooting that takes place? Who says anything about that? It's not a problem unless the police are involved in
right.
it. But every day someone gets shot. Every day someone gets raped. Every day there's a burglary, there's a robbery, there's someone losing their property, but nobody says anything about that. Every day there's a funeral. Every day some woman, some friend, some relative, some person that we serve in this community is raped. A woman, they can't walk down the street without being harassed. Who says anything about that?
That's right.
Who says anything about the son or the daughter who is breaking into their own home and stealing their mother's property? This is something that happens every day. Who speaks up about that? But to let the police become involved in it, and then it's
right
the police.
And why is that, Greg?
Well, I think oftentimes it sells newspaper. It makes headlines, and it creates turmoil. And oftentimes when there's turmoil focused at one particular group or one particular individual, it distracts from other activities that may be going on.
Right. Let me just ask you this. You say it sells paper. It implies that you're saying that the reason they don't do it because the media only showed this one side. But why is it that the so-called black leaders are not upset about those type of action? Why we don't hear them in the media crying out about that and protesting that? I mean, why is that? Do you know?
Well, I really don't know what the individuals think. But it would be nice for change to have some politician, and again, to come forward and talk with the people who are in the belly of this thing.
Right.
And I don't mean just the police department, but I mean the people who live in the community. Every day they're in the belly of the beast of this whole criminal element out there. People that have to get home before dark. You know, oftentimes when you think about getting off from work, that's a time of relaxation and a time to enjoy the fruits of your labor. But there are some people who are concerned with getting in their house before dark.
Wow.
That's the major concern, making it to the market before the sun goes down. Because when the sun goes down, they're faced with criminals, an array of crooks and murders and people who want to take their property from them.
So people living that way right now?
There are people living like that every day.
Did you guys
Jesse.
Know that? Oh, you knew it? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. He told me that before. I was surprised to hear that. So, Greg, how bad is the situation? How bad is it?
Well, I'll tell you, with the influx of drugs, and again, we're not discussing statistics
right.
and numbers here. And what I'm sharing with you and the audience is that just the volume of work that I have experienced in the various tables that I have worked over a 12-year period. And as I see it, violence as a whole has become more prevalent. Complete irreverence for the law is at the an all-time high as far as I can see. And again, this distrust with the police and the community a lot of times is at an all-time high. And I don't want to sound like that's the only aspect that's going on, because on the other side of the coin, there are a lot of good people, man. We serve a lot of good people in this community.
But those are the people that are locked away at home, though.
Those are the people that we don't see.
Right.
And those are the people that I would like to see more vocal. Those are the people that need to become involved. And when you hear about a police meeting, if you hear about some abuse, if you get stopped by the police and you feel like you've been harassed, like the thing that you have mentioned to me, know that there are remedies. Know that there are methods in which to deal with that situation. And please, you know, whatever you do, it's just like it would be wrong for a peace officer to make a blanket statement about a race of people, a group of individuals in the area in which he or she serves.
Mm-hmm.
It is wrong, equally as wrong, for a member of the community, be it a private citizen or some organization, to make a broad brush stroke about this department.
Yeah. What can we do we're coming to the end of this particular segment. What can we do to get people to come out and get involved? I mean, what are some of your, because a lot of people fear their lives. I mean, if this is going on, you would be afraid to go and try to do something about it. How can we get them involved?
Well, it's just like what you're doing here. And I think this is one of the greatest things that a station could offer. Get involved. Yeah. Know that you have potency. Know that what you say is important, and know that you have an ear to listen. But what you can't do is sit back and throw stones at the people who are out here doing the job. Yeah. If you're not out here in it, if you're not participating some type of way, some people don't even vote, but they have something negative to say.
Yeah, that's sad.
Get involved.
Yeah. You you have a program that you want to tell us about. You want to give us the address and phone number?
Yeah, well, I work Southeast Division, and I just wanted to stress we have a youth program. So, and these are not anything new. There's a DAP program and also the Explorer program. And in it, we're not trying to recruit youth to become policemen. You know, a lot of people have that misconception. We're merely trying to expose them to some aspects of society.
Right.
And I think it would be a very good opportunity for them to get involved. And if they're interested, they can phone my station, which is Southeast Division, at area code 213-485-6918 and ask for the community relations officer there.
You know, I want to talk about Willie Williams, but we're going to do that on part two. I know it's difficult for you. There are certain things that you can't say, but I really want to try to get the information out to people that want to overcome this problem that we're having, you know. So I appreciate if you could be as candid as you possibly can. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you coming, and I appreciate my audience. My phone number is 213-759-3844. Also, we have an entrepreneur program the last Sunday of every month from 3 to 5. You will have to be silly, crazy, and out of order to miss this. So, again, call me. I thank you for being with me. We'll be back next Monday night with part two. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Can find a way. I know we can find.